Hello, hello. My name is Holly, and thank you for joining me today for another episode of Sleepy Time Sports. Today is my first episode using my new microphone, so I'm hoping that improves the sound quality. I hope you are having an excellent week so far. And we'll just go ahead and kind of jump into it. I should advise not to listen to this podcast when you are driving or operating any heavy machinery. I do have two other sleep podcasts. If you're interested, I'd love for you to check them out. First one is Burger of the Night, a Bob's Burgers sleep podcast, and Love You to Sleep, a self-love and affirmations podcast for sleep as well. If you are enjoying this podcast, I would love for you to subscribe and rate or review. That would mean quite a lot to me. Alrighty, here we go. The Alabama Crimson Tide were off in week 6. But since then, things have been shaken up at the top of the college football rankings. As the college football playoffs hopefuls at the top spot behind Georgia are checking in at number 2, and that is on the updated CBS Sports 130. Among the teams in the top 20 of CBS's pretty comprehensive ranking of every FBS team, only Georgia, number 1, still holds its current position from last week's balloting. Alabama overtook Cincinnati for number 2. Ohio State dropped from number 4 to number 6, behind both Michigan State and Oklahoma. And losses by top 15 teams, we have Ole Miss, Iowa, Kentucky, and Pittsburgh, provided plenty of room to move upward, hopefully, within the top 30. Baylor, Texas A&M, Auburn, UTSA, and BYU all moved up at least 5 spots in this week's balloting. But the biggest adjustment we see was Houston crashing on in to the top 20 after starting the week outside of the top 35. the Cougars are now 7-1 after a huge conference win against SMU. If you've been watching any NBA games this season, any full games, I should say, you might have noticed quite a distinct difference this year from previous years. Plays that were done by offensive players, where they not so gently hurl themselves into a defender, traditionally would have resulted in a defensive foul that led to free throws, are increasingly being ignored by officials and being deemed as offensive fouls. This is one of the NBA's points of emphasis this season, as they are trying to crack down on overt, abrupt, or abnormal non-basketball moves from offensive players, which had become an apparent staple in some of the league's most prolific scores toolboxes. Outside of some of those scorers who feel that many genuine defensive fouls are now going to be unpenalized, the rule changes have been met with approval from most everyone. Fans, broadcasters, coaches, and players. We have a quote here. "Can I say how satisfying it is to watch the game without all of those terrible calls? Guys cheating the game and grabbing guys and getting the foul." Quote from Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green, who is a 6-time All-Defensive Team honoree and a former Defensive Player of the Year. He went on to say, "I've been really enjoying watching basketball this year. I kind of had stopped watching the NBA a bit because it was just too flailing and flopping and guys cheating the game and getting free throws. So I think that's been great," he says. How do you feel about this change? Is it more enjoyable to watch now that people aren't, I guess, throwing themselves into other players and just calling it offense? I'd love to hear your feedback. The Illinois preseason Big Ten Player of the Year, Kofi Cockburn, will be sitting out for the first 3 games of the season. While he sits out because of an NCAA suspension. Cockburn sold institutionally issued apparel and memorabilia back in June before it was permissible to do so under NIL guidelines. And according to a statement from Illinois, under the terms of the suspension, Cockburn will be repaying the amount he made from the apparel sales through a charitable donation. After serving the suspension, Cockburn will be eligible to make his season debut in the Illinois game versus Cincinnati on November 22nd in Kansas City in the Hall of Fame Classic. Illinois coach Brad Underwood stated, "We are disappointed with the 3-game suspension because there were unprecedented factors that altered timelines related to his decision to ultimately withdraw from the NBA draft and return to school. Once Kofi had a full understanding of where he stood regarding the draft, he made an educated decision to return to school, to work toward his degree, and to continue improving his game. That said, we understand and respect the NCAA's decision in this matter, and we will move forward accordingly." As always, Kofi's attitude and outlook remain upbeat and positive. He is focused on helping his teammates prepare for the season, and we can't wait to have him rejoin us on the court. Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson has been on the block for quite some time, actually, since he asked for a trade back in March. As I've talked about on previous episodes, the NFL is still investigating Watson, who is facing those 22 lawsuits alleging sexual harassment and inappropriate conduct, and 10 criminal complaints. No charges have been filed, and the quarterback has denied these accusations, still not wanting to settle because he does not want to appear guilty. Those cases, of course, are ongoing, which has been making it difficult for the league and the Texans to try and take action in regards to a possible suspension or a possible trade. Watson has not been placed on the commissioner's exempt list because it has not been concluded by the league that a major violation occurred. The Carolina Panthers and the Miami Dolphins are the most likely to be matches for a Watson trade, but the talks involving any deals are, of course, on pause due to the current allegations. Other than Watson, some players that could be up for some trading include Chicago Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson, Miami Dolphins cornerback Xavien Howard, and Indianapolis Colts running back Marlon Mack. Von Miller is no longer the face of the franchise in Denver, as he is on his way to LA to join the Rams. The Rams are sending the Broncos second and third round picks in the 2022 draft for the perennial Pro Bowler. The Broncos also are picking up $9 million of the $9.722 million that are left on his contract. Seeing the pictures as I was walking out made me tear up, said Miller, who is joining a Rams team that's tied with the Packers and the Cardinals for the NFL's best record at 7-1. The Rams coach, Sean McVay, said that Miller will be taking his physical on Tuesday, and he is optimistic that he'll be playing Sunday night against Tennessee. Miller, who is in the final year of his contract, was sidelined all of last year with a dislocated ankle tendon. His comeback was a little tricky, but he wound up winning the AFC Defensive Player of the Month honor in September, and his departure means that kicker Brandon McManus is now the last and only remaining member of the 2015 team that won the franchise's third Super Bowl, partially in thanks, of course, to Miller's incredible performance that secured his legacy as one of his generation's top pass rushers. Miller was rewarded with a 6-year, $114.1 million contract that will be paying him $17.5 million this season. Had the Broncos hung on to Miller and let him leave in free agency after the season, the very best they could have netted was about a 5th round compensatory pick in 2022. And lastly, we have a little bit of a humor to add to Sleepy Time Sports tonight. A man named Tom Campbell, whose Twitter bio would imply that he is based out of Houston, but who otherwise has no apparent connection to the Texas football team, tweeted at 6:58 p.m. Eastern Time, reporting that a quote-unquote credible source within the Longhorns program told him that a monkey bit a child on Halloween. This monkey belongs to Danielle Banks, who is Jeff Banks, the Texas assistant head coach / special teams coordinator's partner, or significant other, you could say. Danielle tweeted prior to Halloween, stating, "Hey neighbors, I have built a haunted house / maze at my house. I'm welcoming all kids Sunday, 7 to 9:30 p.m. Adults are welcome to come tonight. There is a party from 7 to 11 p.m. Swing by." And actually can't tell if that is a tweet or a Facebook post, but that was from Danielle Banks, who is actually an exotic dancer whose professional stage name is Pole Assassin. And she has been known to use a monkey in her routine. It is still uncertain whether it's the same monkey that allegedly bit the child, but a post on the Monkey Gia Instagram account did make it appear that way. She responded to several tweets discussing the story and providing some details about the incident. In doing so, she seemingly corroborated Campbell's initial report and gave more attention to the story. Her Instagram has gone private, and her Twitter account has since been deleted. And regardless, she claimed no parent contacted her or otherwise complained about the incident. And she also stated that Jeff Banks had nothing to do with what happened. She also claimed that the monkey, a female capuchin named Gia, is in fact vaccinated. In a now deleted video, she did claim that the child in question intruded into her backyard, ignoring a warning sign to leave the animal alone, and made their way to the animal's enclosure. In a separate tweet, she said she was unaware anything had happened until a doctor told her that the bite needed to be inspected and cleaned. Here is a transcript from that video. This is sad that people have to go all out of the way to prove that a person is lying. Here's the gate. Here's where all the haunted house action happened. And yes, I do clean up fast. That shit's gone. Here is the gate that every child and parent was told to turn around at when they got to. It was closed and blocked off with balloons. This is how far the kid went in my backyard without permission, all the way to where my animals live. And watch this. I don't even play when it comes to my animals. And I know all the legal rules on them. Do not enter. Emotional support animal. No touching. How could she, the monkey, viciously bite someone if they don't stick their hand in there where it don't belong? This is her home, and her home only. It's already clear as day on the gate. Don't touch. No one's allowed back here without my permission. The story certainly has a few moving parts, but I believe it will be interesting to see if Texas or Jeff Banks comments on the report. Well, folks, that is all that I have for today. I hope by now you are fast asleep, having excellent dreams, or no dreams at all, if that is your preference. I hope that you have a stellar rest of your week, and I hope to see you back here next time on another episode of Sleepy Time Sports. Thank you for being here today, and good night.